an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Mike Beckley, co-founder and CTO at Appian. We're at Appian World, and we're going to talk about AI and where Appian's going. Mike, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks to have me on the show again. Appian is a process company. Our software helps some of the leading organizations in the world automate missions that matter. We're well known for our very scalable technology and very easy to use and approachable technology. We don't think that you should have to be a computer scientist and a DevSecOps expert to deploy and run billions of processes a day. And so that's what Appian is set up to do, to help small teams do extraordinary things and help large institutions manage missions that matter.
Just for those who haven't listened to you before or know who you are, do you want to give us a quick intro to you and Appian?
Last year, we were showing copilots that assisted people in developing Appian applications where instead of generating an entire application, we were using AI where it worked then. And the state-of-the-art AI then did two things well. One was very mundane productivity tasks that developers have to engage in every day, like building unit tests or generating test data. These are low-risk but high-frequency activities. And we found that even the AI of a year ago was excellent at those activities. What it was terrible at a year ago was generating whole applications. This year, and I should say as well, last year we were also emphasizing the introduction of generative AI to transforming document management, intelligent document processing. That has taken off. That's its own value chain where it is incredibly boring to talk about OCR and technology ideas that are decades old, but finally now we are seeing an ability to automate and read and understand and classify and extract insights from millions and tens of millions of documents and that long tail of hundreds of documents of different formats. We were talking about that last year. This year we're showing off customer after customer who is doing it, generating real practical value from generative AI. And that's the primary value to the business, that ability both to build quickly because mundane developer tasks are taken care of. When it comes to the paperless office of the future, well, we've made that future now. And that's incredibly boring, reading the mail and going through paperwork. It's not anywhere near as flashy or sexy as some of the generative AI stories that you see headlines about, and it doesn't cure cancer or achieve the singularity or get us to Mars. But what it does do is generate real practical value from AI. Now, what's changed is with the strength of the frameworks for tool use in AI, we've been able to combine Appian's class-leading process engine, which is a very powerful tool for running those billions of processes for event-driven microservice orchestrations or human workflow or everything in between, with our data fabric, which gives you a unique ability to read and write from very large volumes of information from many different data sources without having to migrate the data. Combine those two things as powerful tools with our low-code framework and generative AI, and now, thanks to those tool use APIs that have been added into the large language models, we can actually start generating a lot more of your mission-critical application objects and even get closer to that dream of that AI development.
I've been listening to the tone of the conversations in the last couple of days. Listened to some of the dev stuff yesterday. And there seems to be a distinct change from last year. So one of the conversations last year was about the challenge of using AI for coding. And that Appian had actually stopped doing that because you found it was creating more problems than it was solving. What has changed in the last year for Appian now to be so positive about using AI to help with coding?
Really, it depends on what you mean by code. By using Appian, we're generating objects. We are essentially telling the AI what we want, and it's telling Appian what it wants. Appian is the code. That gives us a great measure of human control over what the AI can access, what it can do. And in fact, those applications it generates are themselves a set of visual objects, visual process models, incredibly easy to inspect, audit, validate, test. And the important thing as well is that AI can only do what the users ask it to do. For example, have an ability to elevate their permissions because you're going to use the AI with only the permissions you delegate it, like any given user would have. That's the main distinction between us and, say, vibe coding. There are many other distinctions, but that simple one of instead of generating code, which itself could be pulling unknown libraries of unknown safety and generating and inventing methods that are inherently unsafe and unvalidated, you don't have that risk when you use the Appian platform.
Do we really trust AI to write the code and write its own tests? We wouldn't allow a developer to do that. So where does the human in the loop come? Do we use two different engines, one to write the code, one to write the test, to give us a balance?
I don't want to speak for other people. I'll just speak for the practical reality of how we do things here at Appian. We work with the most paranoid customers around. We work with banks. We work with insurance companies. We work with healthcare providers. We work with life sciences researchers, where they're spending billions of dollars to bring a new treatment to market, and if that leaked and one of their competitors got it before they did, that's a catastrophic impact. We work with government agencies in all realms of benefits and national security. So there was never an opportunity for us to ever imagine a world where it would be good to create Skynet and let it elevate its permissions and decide what it wanted to do on its own without strong human control over exactly what tools were delegated to it for what goals and how it was monitored, managed, and controlled.
That control of rights and permissions is the first time in the last 6 months since I've been on a bit of a tear that anybody's been willing to say they can now do. Everybody says when you start an agent, it will inherit all your rights. I have a problem with that, because the more senior somebody is in a company, the wider their rights, the more risk is associated with that. But a lot of vendors, when you talk to them, say that if the agent doesn't have the right authority to do things for you, it will elevate itself, or it will go to another process to get itself elevated, which to me is an incredibly dangerous thing. I'm really happy here and got really excited listening to the keynote to hear that limitation. What was it that made you do that, and why do you think other people aren't understanding the risk?
We work with organizations around the world in all industries. Frankly, we see every example that you just gave and more. Everyone has to go on their own journey here and figure out those lessons. A few years ago, we were seeing the biggest risks in a lot of government entities was the aging out of the expertise. They were very concerned about how they were going to capture that knowledge and subject matter expertise before it left. That's been supercharged in the last few months and weeks in the United States federal government, where we see a mass exodus of talent. There's a social experiment being conducted, for better or for worse, and we're going to find out how effectively AI can capture some of that insight. It's maybe not the most orderly way to get to a conclusive answer there, but we're going to get a lot more data.
You mentioned boring AI. Boring is good. I've been around data centers for years and written about data centers. People don't understand how boring in a data center can be useful. But you mentioned OCR. A few years ago, I spoke to a company who'd worked with their OCR provider, and they'd moved from having five people who every day did nothing but scan documents and correct documents to ending up with just 1.5 persons required a week. What was important about that was they didn't fire those people, they moved them into other parts of the business. We've seen a report today in the UK where companies are now regretting firing staff because they took AI on. When you look at using documents, extracting that, improving that process, how many of your customers are redeploying those staff so they don't lose that subject matter experience, that business knowledge these people have? And how many people just see that as a fast track to cutting numbers? We've talked about that subject matter expert since I started writing about expert systems in 1986. That's 39 years, and we still don't really have a good way to capture it. People believe you can just look at all the contents of information a company has and find that. You can't. There's all that human thinking, that ability to go sideways in a conversation. How do we prepare the AI to be able to learn that change, that human-esque component of thinking?
It's a very deep question you're asking. Part of it is exposing the AI to a variety of information that wouldn't necessarily be required to accomplish the happy path of a process. And that's where Appian's data fabric comes in. We can expose agents to a wider catalog of information with the right security permissions so that they're not given free rein to go know everything, but for within a given context, perhaps, to look at a problem from many different dimensions. If we're trying to understand why was a procurement, for example, approved after it had been previously rejected, we might have to look at many different data sources and precedents to understand, but all within the lens of what access did the people who had to approve that invoice actually have access to. Was that a rogue purchaser? Or was that an appropriate exception in an emergency? How do you parse that out? With a data fabric, we can actually look at a broader portfolio of structured and unstructured data, at emails, at policy documents, at past invoices, combining that structured data from databases with unstructured commentary to get to a closer version of the truth. That's the kind of thing that gets closer to human reasoning without removing the human in the loop to decide what to do with that information when we're able to summarize it into a digest and present it to someone to say, well, do we think this is okay? The other part of what you're talking about is really up to the LLMs to continually innovate on in terms of their ability to do more than just predict the next word that we want to display and begin to go through reasoning. The way they're approaching the reasoning strategies would be well beyond what we can cover in the next few minutes, but certainly there is a debate raging of, is the transformer model fundamentally suited to this type of work, or do we need another breakthrough in LLM technology? Either way, the benefit of using Appian is you don't have to worry about that. It's on us to continually innovate the models and keep your applications working and just make them work better and better, get you better decisions with each generation.
Again, one of the things I've talked about with Appian over the last few years has been this controlled model on which everything is built. It's contained within the company. But more importantly, you've been looking more at small language models where the information is broken up into departments. It's something a lot of people struggle with because they then don't know how they're going to connect them together. But that's really just an issue of rights, that I can see more models than just one. How fast has that helped to accelerate customer adoption of AI, particularly in point solutions? Because listening to some of the presentations from partners here, their time to market has absolutely crushed down compared to what we would normally expect when we go through a technology transformation move.
Appian has been wildly successful at getting AI adoption and agentic AI adoption because we have focused on the boring, non-controversial use cases. I can't say that enough. You have to start simple. We have done that and achieved dramatic gains. We consumed more AI tokens in Q1 than we had consumed in all of last year. We have over 70% of our customers using our AI features and our agentic AI skills. These AI agents from Appian, the first ones that you're seeing delivering the most value happen to be more likely document agents, classification agents, extraction agents. There's an ability and a willingness in organizations, even the most paranoid ones, to recognize they're going to get better decisions and lower risk if they can actually analyze and utilize more unstructured data faster before it becomes out of date, irrelevant. It's a great risk management tool for them. That's why we're getting that uptake and that success. Where we go from here, I think, again, what you're seeing at the show is a recognition that because the framework and the guardrails are so strong, when you put the generative AI into a process platform and you don't have to try and run after the LLM, building monitoring and building guardrails and building frameworks and constraints around it after it's already leaked your data, after it's already hallucinated mistakes, after it's already created issues, then it's far easier to continue that momentum from successful project to successful project because people understand that the AI is helping them. It's not creating a new management burden or a new set of risks.
I want to return to the document. One of the things we heard on Monday was the idea of a document as a record. Now, we have a system of record in most organizations, and that's a very controlled, very limited set of data. It's cleaned, we trust it, we use it for what we need it for. When we look at the number of documents in our unstructured world, first, we often don't see many of the documents because they never get backed up, they're never seen as part of that wider corpus. People keep them on local devices. Secondly, we don't have any classification or clarity of what is in those documents. When you start to talk about the idea of document as a record, how do you begin to take customers through a process of cleaning, verification, validation, why this document, why not that document? Because there are going to be PII and other things that we have to detect that we know are going to be a trouble point for us.
Appian Data Fabric makes it easy to create data pipelines where there's an approval process to validate the content. There's an ability to automatically check and compare data you extract from your documents against structured data to validate its accuracy, or create a process by which you determine what data you want to make the canonical record. But that is no different from the past, where someone still has to decide what data they want to accept. What we can do is much more accurately, more rapidly validate and compare data of all kinds and find it. You have a better chance of getting to an accurate, clean outcome because now, instead of going through an exercise that may take years of trying to gather all your data and clean it, now what we can do is directly access your systems of record at the time we're encountering a customer, pull the information that appears to be relevant to them, present that disparate point of view, like we see three different addresses for you, Ian, which one is relevant today, and challenge you with them. Here we see we have three addresses for you. Which one is current? And if not one of these, we can also write back to those systems of record and say, well, Ian says, actually, is that a fourth address now? That's a powerful difference between, say, the old way of let's go build a data lake and let's go clean all of our data and spend years. And at the end of it, well, we don't even have a relationship map of what's in there because the people doing the data extraction and cleaning don't know how it's going to be used. So better to build the system to use the data, and then as it's flowing through the process, we're generating clean data and creating that perfect system of record that you want.
But generating that clean data also implies there's a lot of metadata sitting around that recognizes the first part and we then apply it as a second layer. Historically, when we brought unstructured data in, we've chucked them into blobs inside our databases because our database has been the structure on which we focused. We're no longer doing that here with this. So how do you build those layers? How do customers understand the application of the metadata, where the metadata's come from, what precedence there is to different layers of metadata on top of the documents?
My competitors have relied on blobs for a long time. It's a disaster, and then they charge you all kinds of money to get the data back out of the blobs you put them into. We think that that's a terrible way to do things. We think that the structured data, the metadata you're searching for, is best intuited by associating a document with a relational database table where you have structured data, which now becomes the metadata about the document. And the document itself becomes metadata about that structured data, if you will. You can tell me an account balance, but if I don't know a lot more about the person and a narrative of, is that a one-time amount of money they have, or is that an ongoing income stream, or is that an investment that pays off in a future liquidity event? How to interpret that data? So the two enrich each other. And it does upend the previous notion of, well, I have a document and I have some metadata about it. This document was created on this date, created by this person, and it's good for this period of time. Now what we're saying is the world is more three-dimensional. It is richer. We have to understand not only structured and unstructured data, but the relationships between them and the relationships between other data objects. Data fabric is fundamentally an object-oriented approach to looking at the real world rather than trying to flatten it into a two-dimensional approach. So we end up with a richer reflection of reality, closer to the concept of digital twins, perhaps, that people think about, and therefore a far more useful one in terms of getting to good business outcomes.
One of the things you've done successfully with your data fabric is you've abstracted what we've all been grown up thinking of with object-oriented data, and I can go back to the late 80s when we first started these conversations. And instead of talking object orientation, where people then get very tied up in complex discussions, you've made it simpler. You've made it user accessible, not just IT accessible. How does that change the conversation with your customers?
Customers are trying to decide how can they take control of their data, how can they take control of their own destiny. They want to avoid getting it wrong. They want to avoid having to create these systems again. They're afraid of tech debt. They're afraid of vendor lock-in. What we're doing is showing them that you can get value right now from the systems you have. You don't need to rip and replace. You don't need to trust us with all of your data. You don't need to put everything into our cloud to get the benefits of Appian. We're much more like Switzerland, trying to connect all your different IT countries, your IT enclaves, in and outside of your organization, because these days supply chains extend well beyond the enterprise perimeter. In so doing, I think we're trying to just change the way people think about innovation. If you're going to take control of your own destiny, you have to see that we are a better way for you to get value from these new cloud services, from AWS, from these new AI models, from vendors like Anthropic, from your traditional desktop publishing tools from Office 365. How do you stitch all these things together in a way which makes your individual productive as part of a team that's accomplishing a strategic goal for an enterprise? And how do you have the visibility and control over these high-speed processes where a human can set a new goal, and we can watch with awe as the systems and people are reorganized dynamically to achieve that new goal. And you can have multiple goals operating in parallel at the same time that are prioritized as opportunities arise. That's the kind of power that this AI-enabled process intelligence gives us. I think that's worth the look.
One of the differentiators for me is you constantly talk about AI in the process, not AI as the process, or AI as an application that consumes processes. One of the concerns that a lot of companies are beginning to finally wake up to is that AI leaks their data outside. They set up their enrichment processes, they try and contain their own data, build their guardrails, the way data is moved with AI gets away from them very quickly. By having AI in the process, how much easier is it to build and enforce security and movement of data?
Well, it makes it a lot easier when the AI is not exposed to the world as a general purpose person you go to and say, tell me everything you know about mortgages. And who knows what's going to come out of that thing. Appian eliminates the need to train the AI on your data. Instead, we bring the data to the AI in that carefully curated context in a process, in a task within a process. And the output is to another task within the process. It's not to the world until you're ready to have curated and looked at what is that output email, what is that output message, and say, does this conform to our other constraints? And then in that template, in that guided, guardrailed interaction, we can now present something back to the world. We're gatekeeping the data that ever is presented to the AI, and we're gatekeeping the data that comes out of the AI, and the human is always able to manage and look at that process. So it's a completely different philosophy. I mean, today there is another competitive view out there, maybe two. I'd say one is that AI will just do it all on its own. AI will become so smart, it will internalize the data and everything. And that's the hard AI strong message. I don't give it much credence because no one has delivered any practical value to that. The workflows in real businesses need something better than that. The second goal, though, is more competitive strategy, and that's can you bring the AI to the data as opposed to bringing the data to the AI? And so the data platform vendors are really big on trying to embed the models into the data. I personally think that there's probably some merit in those propositions for certain use cases. It will help with exploring the data for a data analyst, perhaps, but it doesn't help with operations. And it creates its own risks, as you pointed out, far more risks for data leakage when you are bringing the model to the data and giving it much more free rein. And it's not an accident we created this AI and process framing. It's because it's what our customers were demanding.
There's a cost issue here. You talked about the massive increase in the number of tokens. That was evident from Matt's conversation yesterday on stage. You talked about taking the data to the AI. All of this is data movement. One of the things we've discovered with cloud is that we lose CapEx, but actually our OpEx can suddenly overwhelm us because we're not tracking that movement. How do you enable customers to accurately understand what the cost is of expanding their use of AI, to look at how AI is working, to better tune it, to reduce the cost, and therefore give them greater usage of it, because they will still have a budget limitation?
The way Appian uses AI gives you a great deal of protection from unexpected spending. For one thing, the AI is embedded in a process which itself is measured and monitored. So you know how many tokens are generally consumed by a process execution, and you know how many of those processes you have. You are in control of how many of those processes you want to initiate. It's very simple for an organization to predict and manage its budget, especially the AI component, which is going to be a much easier component to manage of cost and a much lower one typically than the human element of that work. So today you have a process for onboarding a customer to a financial institution or onboarding a patient into a clinical trial. You have so many manual touches that require so much time by expensive people. You're paying, as you pointed out, both in terms of those people direct costs for doing manual labor and the indirect costs of those people not doing more value-added work, which gets you closer to them focusing on the goal, getting that therapy brought to market, getting that customer onboarded and successful, making money with you and your investment strategies. With Appian, we have gathered up the AI use cases and bucketed them into really easily understood tiers with a very generous included allotment of tokens in the price. if you exceed that, there's an advanced tier and there's a premium tier where you can get more tokens in large allotments so that you don't have to get obsessed with token anxiety, like range anxiety on an electric car. And more than that, let's not forget the token costs are descending rapidly. LLMs are commoditizing. There is vicious competition between the LLM providers and very little difference between them. The core underlying infrastructure, we used to rely on NVIDIA. Now you see AMD and others entering that market rapidly because $100+ billion on an infrastructure triggers the mass arrival of new competitors. Token costs will continue to go down. That is not where people should be obsessing about their costs. They should be obsessing about how expensive is the total cost of ownership for a system to build it, to manage it, to run it, maintain it, to keep it secure, get it authorized, get it approved, and updated as users demand new features. That reality is a platform like Appian is going to have a much lower total cost of ownership than trying to custom build your solutions, wrapping around your own LLM, trying to buy your tokens on the cheap somewhere, and then building all of the infrastructure to make it effective to operationalize that AI in your processes.
I'm no short on time, so I've got one last question. Some of the pre-announcements I've seen here for 25.2 suggest the biggest changes and the biggest advances in Appian in all the years I followed you. It also suggests a significant acceleration of what you're doing. Where's Appian going? What are we going to see in the next year? And I'm aware as a listed company, you're limited perhaps in what you can comment.
I think we've already tipped our hand, and I think that it's really not hard to see. Appian is becoming the preferred workflow platform for missions that matter for the largest enterprises. There's a consolidation happening. The BPM market, the low-code market, the mobile development market, the orchestration market, these are all consolidating. Vendors are being squeezed. Companies are trying to free up funds for innovation, free up funds for investing in AI applications in their processes. They're not going to tolerate having all this legacy BPM lying around and all these legacy low-code providers around. They are choosing winners. Where Appian is going is we're being asked to take on so many more missions. We're being asked to be that enterprise solution and move beyond projects to become the enterprise program for how do you actually deliver AI operations and deliver AI agents to take these organizations, these global organizations, to the next level. That's where Appian is going. We're going into this realm of being asked to take on far more diverse missions. You saw that in the stories today on stage at Appian World from a much broader set of industries than ever before and far more customer-facing stories than ever before. We've left the back office operations or middle office operations, and now it's about true digital transformation, taking cost centers, turning them into profit centers. You see companies that used to be excellent at process with Appian now realizing they can sell that process for onboarding to all their competitors, rethink their place in the market. That vision of digital transformation has been there for over a decade. But now, thanks to this combination of the data fabric technology to actually empower AI agents, now it's conceivable to serve not just your own internal audience with your cost center, but to sell that service at scale to 100 or 200 or 1,000 other companies. Well, that needs automation. You're not going to be able to find 10 times or 100 times as many people to do that work easily. That's where I see Appian going, is helping our clients think strategically about process in a way they never have before.
It's going to be really interesting. Mike, thank you for talking with me.
Thank you, Ian.